Okay, I'll just begin by praying. Father God, I thank you for the opportunity once again to stand before the church, Lord God, and your people, and to deliver your word. I ask for your spirit to guide me, that you would open up the everything that I'm going to say, that we would understand it, Lord God, take it on board, and once again, Lord, just dismiss another excuse that people make for not wanting to know Jesus, your Son, as their Savior. We ask this in your precious name. Amen. Okay. Okay, so I've got the privilege, as Tally opened up with, is finishing with the last excuse. And in some ways, it's the hardest excuse of them all, because it's a summary of everything that we've been saying and having to try and put it across in a way that I'm going to actually, I was trying to do it as a conversation with my wife during the week. And by our second day, I wasn't much of a Christian at all. I tried to sort of lead her into what kind of a Christian is. So my excuse tonight is, I don't want to be a Christian. And probably one of the wisest statements that an unbeliever could actually make. After all, Christians, if you look at it from a worldly point of view, are persecuted, attacked, killed, shunned for being just a Christian, for being a Jesus follower. Who wants to live in fear of their lives for being a Christian and following Jesus? I don't want to be a Christian. It's an excuse I gave myself, which I'll come to at the very end. But what is a Christian? Now, this is a very good question. I watched Winnie the Pooh. Now, I did watch Christopher Robin the week before, and then the girls and I went and got out Winnie the Pooh. We sat down last week and we watched it. And Winnie the Pooh is one of the greatest, wisest people I've ever heard. He comes out with some fantastic quotes like, "Today is my favourite day. I don't care much for tomorrow," which I thought was one of the greatest. But anyway, The story unfolds. Christopher Robin shows up every day. He hasn't showed up this day. Winnie the Pooh goes looking for him, goes to his house, and he finds a little note that's been left by Christopher Robin. And, of course, Winnie the Pooh isn't a great man for reading these notes, so he takes it to the wise old owl. And he takes it, and in front of all Piglet and Piglet, Winnie the Pooh and Eeyore and the other characters, he reads out the note, but he makes a mistake. He misinterprets the word back soon for a monster called a Baxon. And so a whole interpretation here is given. They invent a whole possible scenario, the whole story, this make-believe monster called a Baxon. And they're frightened of it, and they try to set and plan some way of capturing the Baxon beast and setting Christopher Robin free. It's hard to believe that something so simple could change into something so terrible and so misinterpreted. You know, 2,000 years ago, Jesus, the Son of God, came to the earth to die on a cross for those people who would believe in him and accept him as Savior. And the message was one of salvation, an opportunity for sinful, fallen man to come to God through the sacrificial death of Jesus, his Son, and his glorious resurrection to life again. That is the message. That is the message that God sent through his Son, Jesus. And from the first believers in the early church gathered at a place called Antioch. That's one of the first places we know of for Christians being gathered and the term Christian being used. And a dictionary definition of a Christian would be something similar to a person professing belief in Jesus as the Christ or in the religion based on the teaching of Jesus. That's the dictionary definition. However, from the very start, the term Christian has been used to cover the view of people who would appear to be a Christian, but are definitely not. The word Christian appears three times only in the New Testament. And the followers of Jesus were first called Christians, like I said, in Antioch, because their behavior, their activity, and their speech was Christ-like. And that means that they acted and imitated in a way that was like Jesus. The word Christian literally means belonging to the party of Christ, or to be a follower of Jesus. And this is what the early Christians were like. They were imitators of Jesus. They wanted to be like him. They acted like him. And they did everything Christ-like. A Christian in its purest form is a group of people that believe that they follow Jesus as their Savior. And the imagery today of a Christian is somebody who is nicely, weak and mild and all very kind. If you come to Shiloh, you'll soon find that that is not the case with most Christians. They are not purer than light. And in fact, some Christians can be seen in another light that is completely different to this meek and mild imagery that we conjure up, many conjure up. Some people think that Christians are so weak-minded that they need the church as a crutch to support them. That is why Christians flirt, or people go to churches for support and all that kind of stuff. But the problem with Christians and Christianity is its misuse of the name and how it has developed over the past 2,000 years. So to start my conversation, because I couldn't think of how to put this across tonight, I want to look at a passage of scripture from Matthew 25, verses 35 to 40. And this is a summary of what a Christian should be like. Now, there's, like Taddy said before, there's numerous places in the Bible I could take examples of what a Christian should be like. But this is probably one of the simplest and most succinct passages. So Matthew 25, verses 35 to 40 says this: "For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see the hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me." So this is Jesus. Before this, he was given parables. Now he's talking about the judgment of the Gentiles, if you took this in full context. He's talking about the way people should have acted and the way they didn't act, and he's going to separate them out as sheep and goats. But I've taken a sort of snapshot of what has taken place here. And Jesus is looking at what a Christian, how a Christian should have acted, the way that they should have been. And it is probably one of the simplest, most powerful sort of snapshots showing the attributes of a Christian, someone who is willing to put others before themselves. This is the example of loving your neighbour, putting others, including strangers, before yourself. And look, I don't want to boast in any way about the kind of person that I really am. And I never do that. But for example, if I was walking, or I might have in the last few weeks, been walking on an underground and holding a bottle of water that I just bought, and a guy said to me, can I have a drink? Well, you don't just give him the drink, you give him the whole bottle. Or you might be passing somebody who asks you for your change and you take out everything you have in your pocket. You just don't take out the change and say, well, there's a 10p and a 5p, I'm going to give them that. You take out everything that you have and you give them all that you have. It's not about giving partly. The Christian isn't a sort of, I keep most of it myself, but I'll give you a little bit. And this is what Jesus is sort of putting across here. And if a person asks you for something to eat, you give them all that you have. You don't just give them a little bit of the leftovers. You know, I'll tell you something funny, but I'm sure my neighbours hate me. But I quite often buy too much if we go to the chip shop every now and again. So I go across the road and hand them a fish supper or a chip or go next door because I've always have too much and I hate to see it going to waste. And, you know, the two of them could look like they don't need the chip, but I always go across and knock and I always back over the chips. And they always take them off me. But it's the kind of thing where you want to do what you can for whoever you can, whenever you can do it. If a person is in hospital, you should go and see them, show them kindness. I have a couple of people I know in hospital at the minute. My mum's actually in hospital, and another person I know is in hospital, and I went to see the other person who haven't really talked to for the last 10 years. But I am taught and to act in a way that is different to the way I want to behave. So I may not want to go and see the person in hospital, but you know what? I've got to cross that boundary. I've got to go and see that person. I've got to change the way I am, and I've got to act differently. And this is the way Christians meant to be. And so I'm trying to sort of give you a little idea of how I try and act, how I live this, difficult as it may be. I don't know many people in prison at the minute. I know Taddy knows quite a few. And so going up to see them and comfort them in prison is something that he does, and it's a great thing, a great missionary that he has. But you might say to yourself, well, actually, Keith, what you're saying here is everything that I do as a non-Christian. I act like this. I do these things that you're talking about. Therefore, I'm as good as the Christian. And you're right. You probably are more gooder, is there such a word, than the Christian. You probably show more compassion. You probably show more mercy. You probably do more things than the confession Christian. There are so-called Christian brothers that Taddy highlighted this morning who have said and done more wrong things against me than the unbelieving world would ever dream of doing. I've been so hurt by Christians, than the ordinary believing word. Because a Christian can do more damage to a person because they have this sort of, if you want, spiritual armory that they can use against you, and the verses they can put against you that can do you more hurt than the guy in the street hitting you, digging the gub. And so we've got to be careful as Christians how we present ourselves and how we're meant to act. So what's the difference, and why bother becoming a Christian if you do all these good things? Well, if you're living up to this moral code in life that I've set out, and it's the standard that you're reaching, then you're doing really well. You're a fantastic person, and I would shake your hand. You're doing what I'm trying to do. But the truth is that many throughout the centuries have masqueraded around this world in the guise of Christianity, causing more harm than pain and more harm than any other ordinary people have done. And, you know, it gets to me a wee bit, and I know, look, I know Taddy and I are right-wing extremists. We don't hold any qualms about that. We don't tell you that we're centred Christians. We don't tell you that we're slightly to the liberal. We will tell you we are right, well, maybe I'm speaking out of turn, but I will tell you I am a right-wing extremist Christian in my views. And so, I want to tell you something. So, Catholic Church, for example, will tell you they're Christians. The Christian Church obviously tells you they're Christians. The Mormons will tell you on their website that they are Christians. The Jehovah's Witness will tell you on their website that they are also Christians. So the world is seeing groups of people who are completely holding different views that are saying they're Christians. And this is why people become more and more confused about what a Christian is. I could be a Jehovah's Witness Christian. Surely it's the same as a Roman Catholic Christian. It's not. We hold different views. We have totally different views on obviously who Jesus is, and so therefore we cannot hold the same ground, the same views, or the same opinions. And it really galled me to read this week in the Telegraph on Saturday. Bishops United, this is just a snapshot of the world, by the way. Bishops United in celebration as new cross goes up near St. Patrick's grave. This is the Catholic Bishop Noel Traynor and the Church of Ireland Bishop Harold Miller. And here's what they say about this cross. And this is a wee bit out of context, but I'm trying to put across what Christianity is put across as. So they say this: the cross is at the centre of our faith. It's a symbol of what we have in common, our unity in Christians. That, to me, is complete rubbish. I have nothing in common with so-called Catholic Christian or Catholic leaders. We don't have anything in common. So therefore, Christianity is being diluted, or is being diluted and mixed up here, that people would start to think, well, I could be a Catholic Christian, I could be a Christian, or a sort of Shiloh Christian, so where's the difference? There is a huge difference, but I can't go into that whole debate in this talk. I'm just trying to give you a snapshot of why you might be, I don't want to be a Christian. So there are so many religions that call themselves Christians. This is where a lot of confusion begins to arise. And if you consider the pain and misery that has been caused by the so-called Christian umbrella over the years, we have the sexual abuse, the Pope over here trying to make things all rosy and trying to fix things, and of course he's the head of what people see as the Christian church. He is not the head of my Christian church. But anyway, the Christians have done so much damage over the years. We have Christians at the minute and their views on gross behaviours. And then we have the Christians where we might stand, where we stand against gay people, not gay people, but homosexuality. We stand against gay marriage. We stand against abortion. So we are the right-wing extremists. But we're still Christians. So people are getting mixed up, very mixed up, on what is a Christian and what views do they hold. But it all falls within the envelope of religion, which of course is seen as the reason why so many wars take place in the world. And then you have the atheists jumping in, and everything gets mixed up, and nobody knows who is a Christian. Who is the true Christian? But the issue is that the term Christian has been hijacked by people that want to use it for their own moral high standings. They use it to suit themselves. You'll see them in their whole holy, good living. Taddy had a real battering this morning at how we should be holy and how we are to act, and you know, I really enjoyed the sermon. But many attend churches around this world dressed in their Sunday best, acting their very best, but their Saturday to Sunday is completely different to their Saturday to Monday is completely different to their Sunday life. Their Christianity is fickle and it's only skin deep. But yet they're seen as moral figures in the church, in the community. This is the Christian that I'm meant to be sort of looking up to. This is the Christianity that I'm meant to be. And many will say, I don't want to be that kind of Christian. No more than I want to be the kind of Christian in the Catholic Church. No more than I want to be the kind of Christian in the Mormon Church. And so the confusion continues and it continues. And the Christian who attends the bars and mixes in the rest of society's sort of secret gambling and ill places of repute are setting no better an example, are they? The Christian who goes out to the nightclub on a Saturday night gets absolutely plastered and comes in on a Sunday morning to church and trying to be the Christian. I don't want to be that kind of Christian either. Look at the way he's getting on. He mixes with the world. He's carrying on in the nightclubs and he's telling me how I should live my life. And then he's in there on Sunday morning pretending to be holier than thou. So there's another example of I don't want to be a Christian. It's easy to find examples of why people don't want to be Christians. In fact, many of them are the reasons I had myself. The point is that a Christian, though, is never going to be perfect or indeed meet the mark that people think that they should be meeting. They are never going to meet the standard that God had set. The true Christian is one, though, who believes in Jesus as the Savior and commits his life to him. The Christian is a person that knows Jesus, has a confessing relationship with him, and God the Father, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, the Trinity that we talk about. This is the true Christian. This is the position that he is in, and this is where he wants to be. Now, I'm going to let you into a little bit of what happened to me the other night, just to sort of bring this talk around a wee bit. I have been thinking about this all week. This talk has been on my mind. And I went to bed the other night, and I don't know if I had too much cheese or whatever I'd done, and I had this really bad dream. I'm not going to tell you about the dream. But in the dream, I kept hearing the verse Romans 3:28. Romans 3:28. I have read Romans many, many times. I know the basic doctrines in Romans, and of course, I didn't jump out of my bed and say, yes, Romans 3:28, I know the verse. So I had to scramble, get my Bible that morning, and I looked it up. And Romans 3:28 says this, therefore we conclude, this is the answer, we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. A man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. The Christian believer today is a believer, is a person that is justified by God through his faith and by no work or merit of his own. Therefore, a person is justified by faith without the need to keep the standard of the law, which God set out in the Ten Commandments. We can never keep the standard that was given by Moses to the children of Israel as the Ten Commandments as the moral and godly law. We could never do it. It was always pointing towards the Messiah, Jesus, who was to come. Israel could not live up to the standard, and they were breaking the law of God every single day. You and I break the law of God every single day, whether you're coveting, whether you're lusting, whether you're stealing, whether you're, I could give you the whole list, but you are breaking the law every day, and so am I. So no matter what I do, trying to be the Christian that I want to be, I will never ever make it on my own. And the only way then for a person to be right before God in the righteousness is to accept Jesus as his personal Savior, so that we can be right before God, because he, Jesus, paid the great debt for our sins. When we accept Jesus as our Savior, then all our sins are wiped away and we are justified by faith, by believing in him alone, not by any works, not by any merit, not by anything that I could do or offer myself. And this is the point. We have become righteous as believers, as Christians, because of Jesus and nothing else. Becoming a Christian by name does not make you righteous in the eyes of God. A lot of people say, I'm a Christian, but fall very, very short of what they should be doing. A lot of people say, but I keep the commandments, even examples in the Bible. But you fall short of the righteousness that God requires. Saying you do good works and acts of charity across the world does not make you righteous in the eyes of God, although you may gain the Nobel Peace Prize for doing so. The only thing that makes us right with God is accepting Jesus as our personal Savior for the forgiveness of sin. And so this leads me right back to my start. The Baxton was a terrible misrepresentation of what Christopher Robin was actually planning to do on his note. He was planning to come back soon, a bit like Jesus. But instead of it being read like that, it was misinterpreted as the Baxton. And this is what has happened with the term Christian. Because the way it was set out, and the way and its meaning originally, has, as I have demonstrated, been lost, been changed, and been turned into so many different versions, whether it's Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnesses, the Catholic Church, our church, no matter what you want to take it on different guises, different meanings, different interpretations, and so therefore, the word Christian should, I believe, make people consider whether or not that is the kind of person they want to be. And the reason I say that is because Christians lie, steal, cheat, commit adultery, do all the things that are forbidden in the law, and are sometimes the most wicked people you could ever meet. I have been swindled by Christians. I have been called names by Christians. I have found them to be sometimes guilty of the most hideous crimes, which I knew personally over my life. That is the term Christian that we apply broad blanket to everybody who attends a church. And many of them will fall guilty of all that I have said. But there are in there the ones who know Jesus personally, who have been made righteous because of him and because of their faith in him. Based on all these things that I have said, it's no wonder people don't want to be Christians. Well, it might surprise you that I don't really like the term being called a Christian. I would rather, and I do this often, tell people that I am a follower of Jesus. And this removes quite often the negativity that is attached to the name. And it gives a clear and a concise picture of who I am and who I am in Jesus. Because when I say I'm a Christian, you get everything. When I say I'm a follower of Jesus, they know where I stand. There is a difference. And of course, Christian, the name started off as a good thing, but like everything else, it has been marred, and like I said, and demonstrated. I don't want to be a Christian as a good starting point for anybody who wants to know Jesus. And I say that in a serious note. I don't want to be labeled as a Christian. It might be an unwise thing to do. But it is not an excuse for ignoring who Jesus is and what he came to do for you. Don't let the label that has been abused by men over hundreds of years be the reason that you don't accept Jesus, because it won't wash with God and it is a very weak excuse. I don't want to be a Christian, though, is a good starting point, and it was the one that changed my life. I didn't want to be a Christian like some of the nice ones I knew who were all fluffy and kept saying, yes, yes, nice, nice. I didn't want to be like the ones that I knew who probably weren't the nicest people in the world. I wanted to get beyond what a Christian was. And I'll tell you, it took me a long time from being tackled with, are you going to become a believer in Jesus, to actually accepting it. It took me a long period of time. But I did that because I wanted to know who Jesus really is. And so whenever someone says, I don't want to be a Christian, I said, that's great. Do you want to know who Jesus is? I don't want to be like Keith Mooney. That's a good starting point. You don't want to be a Christian like I am. If you knew, as Taddy's highlighting this morning, the things in my life, the sin in my life that I tear my heart over, you would not want to be a Christian like me. But I want you to consider tonight as I'm closing that beyond the facadeism of Christianity, beyond the facadeism of what a Christian supposedly is, just pull that away and look directly to who Jesus is and what he came to do. Do you know why I say that? Because Christians are sometimes the biggest stumbling blocks to bringing people to Jesus. Because if we tear down our own testimonies, it just takes us to do something wrong. Do you know what? I could live my life perfectly for 99 years and do one wrong thing, and when I die, the people say, oh, Keith Mooney, did you hear what he did? How about the 99 good things he did? No. It's the one bad thing that I did. And that's the problem. And so I would rather that we take away the stumbling block. If you're going to lead someone to Jesus, make sure you're doing it for Jesus. And I'll say that in a way. What I'm trying to say is, make sure it's Jesus you're leading them to and not your Christianity and not to how you live your life, but to how Jesus wants you to live your life. We need to point to Jesus as the standard rather than the church and the Christians within it. I don't want to be a Christian was exactly what I said 18 years ago. I don't want to be like those squareheads. Well, I was right. And I'm nothing like those Christians. Because I am the person that Jesus wanted me to be. Because I followed him. I'm Daddy Gordon a wee bit. But I followed him. And I saw through the Christian facades to see how Jesus could change my life. I don't want to be a Christian. Well, neither did I. But I want to know who Jesus is. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you tonight that you've shown me personally what it is to be a Christian and what it is to have a belief in you, that it isn't about the ceremonies that we perform, it isn't about the nice things that we do or maybe the prayers that we do in front of others, it isn't about how well we can sing or how well we can talk about something in a sermon afterwards. It's simply about what Jesus has done for us and his righteousness and nothing more. And I ask you, Lord, that each one of us this morning, tonight, Lord God, would look to Jesus always as being the standard that we need to live to. And that everything else, Lord, pales into insignificance. We, Lord God, should follow your Son. And we should live our lives for him. I ask you, Lord, please, to help us to see that today. And to help us, Lord, never to be stumbling blocks as Christians. Because, Lord, we have attached so many things to ourselves that can put people off from wanting to know you. Help us to look at ourselves as Christians and to see how we can change our views and how we act and the ways that we behave that might let somebody see something of Jesus in our lives. Help us, Lord, to live every day for you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.